At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You know, it felt like it was just yesterday when we were mid-July with nothing to talk about related to the NFL. And now look at us. Here we are, Sterling, previewing week two of the NFL season. Week one's already in the past. It's gone. It's happened. We're moving on to week two. Sterling, how are you doing this week?
I'm good. I'm great, man. I'm excited. Football's back. I sat my ass on the couch Thursday,
yep.
Friday,
yep.
Saturday for college, all day Sunday. I'm excited to look ahead, though. Like, there were some question marks on Monday with Christian McCaffrey. It's fine that I lost fantasy football by 4 points because he sat out. Yeah, it's fine. That's cool. Didn't need that. Didn't need to all of a sudden get last place in fantasy football in my league. Has to chug a beer Tuesday morning before work, so I had to do that. Yeah, of course. Thanks. I'm not mad about that, 49ers. No, not at all. But I'm looking forward to week two and bouncing back like the Falcons hopefully will bounce back this week.
Yeah, well, fortunately, we're not going to talk Falcons today because Falcons are Monday Night Football this week, so we'll talk about that Monday morning show. But Sterling, I was hoping you're going to start off the show with an apology to me.
About?
Monday, when we previewed Monday Night Football at the end of the show, we were giving out some touchdown picks. And I said, you know what? I think Alan Lazard at 6-1 is a pretty good look. And you said, not a chance, doesn't happen. He scored not one, he scored twice.
Yeah, I'm an idiot. I'm a buffoon. That? I'm silly. I'm a dumb man. I thought you were being a little aggressive with the former Green Bay love, but Alan Lazard was out there like the entire game, and he looked brutal to start the game too. I mean, he had some bad routes, bad drops, but they kept going his way. No really Mike Williams in that when he played like six snaps. It was perplexing, I thought, to me. I didn't know Mike Williams was only going to play that few of snaps. If he's that injured, yeah. Why is he out there at all? Weird. But you're right, Ian, and I'm wrong.
Yeah, it seemed like the Jets' entire offense was Garrett Wilson, Breece Hall, and Alan Lazard. It didn't really, like, did anyone else get a ball thrown to them? So that was an interesting game. Really quick, before we dive into week two, as we always do, we're going to preview every single game, except for Monday Night Football. We'll preview 15 of the 16 games. What was your big takeaway from Monday night?
One, the Niners are great. Like,
yep.
just incredible. It's nothing we didn't know. Like, I didn't even think they played great football. Like, Brandon Ayuk looked really rusty. I thought Ayuk looked real rusty. Brock Purdy, I thought, made some actually bad throws in that game, too. And they still were not even close to getting beat.
Right.
So, main takeaway or not, that's just, I think, just throw that into a corner. Second one is, I think Jets fans are maybe overreacting. I think some of the people, I think the Jets are just, oh, they're toast. Oh, my goodness. Look at Rodgers. He was laughing as they're losing.
Yeah.
Jets played some really bad football, and it was not all his fault. Lazard dropped an easy third down completion punt. Next drive out, Breece Hall fumbles, turn the ball over.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're starting yourself down in what, 14-0 hole? Like, you can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
You had a couple of great drives, I thought, with Rodgers in there. I thought he actually looked pretty darn good overall throwing the football. Once you get Mike Williams more involved, I would, again, put him way above Alan Lazard. I think the offense will take a step forward. I think overall, if you're a Jets fan, that's week one football. That's just week one. I think there are glimpses, though, of you could take a step forward. The defense being that bad, that's only because you're playing the Niners. The Jets defense, I still think, is a really good defense. If I were a Jets fan, I would R-E-L-A-X.
Yeah, I agree. I learned almost nothing about the Jets, to be honest. That could have gone a lot better, but it also could have gone a lot worse. Rodgers could have looked better, but also he could have looked a lot worse. He had some zip on the ball, but at the same time, he didn't look as mobile as he used to. So I learned almost nothing about the Jets. Their defense didn't look as good as we expected, but like you said, they played the 49ers. So, I mean, it's tough for any defense to look good against the 49ers offense. So we'll just wait and see with the Jets. I learned nothing.
I learned that the easiest bet of all time was the -3.5 on the Niners.
Yes.
I hammered that line. That was child's play.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite bets on the board for week one. And that was, for the most part, a sweat-free winner. Outside of the first drive by the Jets. The Jets' first drive, I was nervous.
Yes,
because they looked fantastic on the first drive. And I think it put them up 7-6 or maybe even 7-3 at the time. But after the game kind of settled down a bit, it was, the 49ers were the right side. All right, let's move on to week two. We got 15 games to get through. We're going to start with Thursday Night Football. It is an AFC East showdown, Bills against Dolphins. The Dolphins, 2.5-point home favorites. I have literally every single person I have seen, and obviously we don't have to give it a bet on every single game, but just to kind of give some context to the viewers, Dolphins are favored, but yet every single person I've seen that has put out a pick for Thursday Night Football is picking the Buffalo Bills to win this game. Sterling, are you in that camp, or are the Dolphins rightfully favored at home?
Yeah, just add me to the camp. I learned a lot from the Bills week one, and maybe I'm overreacting to what they did. Now, I know it was a tough game. They barely squeaked out a victory over the Cardinals. I think the Cardinals offense is really good too, by the way. Cardinals defense is not good, but the Dolphins defense isn't good either. Thursday Night Football, always wonky. Typically, you rip the under. But I don't want to go with just the wonkiness of Thursday Night Football. I thought the Bills look good. Keon Coleman looked like a good fit offensively. Josh Allen is putting the team on his back. I love Dalton Kincaid. I really, really do. I'm going with the Bills in this one. You know my affinity for Josh Allen. I think he's clear-cut the second-best quarterback in the NFL, and he will prove it yet again on Thursday.
I'm on an island. I'm on the Dolphins in this one, and I don't see a single, like I said, I don't see a single other person on the Dolphins. I'm not overreacting to week one. I'm sticking to my preseason evaluation of both of these teams, and my preseason evaluation was the Miami Dolphins are the best team in the AFC East. Yes, their offense looked, you know, not as smooth as we had seen from them early in the season last year. They still got the job done, still won the game, but I was impressed by the Dolphins' defense, which I haven't heard anyone talk about. Their defense, who heading into the season, I said, listen, they didn't make a ton of flashy signings in the offseason, but they did make a few key veteran acquisitions that gave their defense some depth. And if that defense can even just play at the level they did against Jacksonville, this offense is going to get going at some point this season. So, and still, the Dolphins won the game. It seems like nobody is giving credit for the Dolphins for winning that game against a tough Jacksonville team. They won that game. They found a way to do it. And the Bills, I still got a lot of question marks about the Bills. I really do. I know they came back and won. I know Josh Allen did Josh Allen things. Their defense gives me some question marks. Their offense as a whole still gives me some question marks. I think Arizona's defense is abysmal, so I'm not, you know, ready to crown Josh Allen MVP or anything like that. I think the Dolphins are going to surprise some people on Thursday night and get the win.
I don't disagree with a lot of what you said. Defensively, they did look a lot better against Jacksonville, but I guess my point is I'm not super high on Jacksonville overall to begin with. I really am not. But Raheem Mostert is listed as out. Devon Achane is listed as questionable.
That doesn't help. That hurts.
Yeah.
I think a lot of games in week one, and I think this is kind of par for the course for week one games. A lot of games I didn't learn a whole lot, like the Jets. I didn't really learn anything about the Jets. I think this game, Thursday Night Football, is going to show us something. It's going to show us a little bit more where the Bills and where the Dolphins stand. So I'm excited for it. Another good primetime game. Bills-Dolphins tomorrow night. Week two starts.
Love it.
Let's move on to Sunday slate. Week one, we had a lot of tight lines, a lot of, you know, close to coin flips, a lot of big favorites in week two. And it is actually worth noting, even though there were a lot of close lines in terms of just straight up, favorites went 13-3. straight up, not against the spread, just straight up. The only teams to pull off upsets in week one were the Steelers, unfortunately.
No.
The Cowboys and the Patriots were the three teams to pull off an upset in week one. We may see a similar story this week with how big these lines are. No line is bigger than the one between the Raiders and the Ravens. Ravens favored by 9 points. I think neither of us is going to say the Raiders are going to win this game. But what are you looking out for in this AFC game between the Raiders and Ravens?
Yeah, Ravens obviously bouncing back. Does Isaiah Likely keep up his great start to the season? What does that look like with him and Mark Andrews? Lamar Jackson he played a really good game overall, I thought, but when the game was on the line, he missed a couple of throws. Again, I think the Raiders are a very physical team. Can Max Crosby and Christian Wilkins get a lot of pressure on Lamar while also not letting him escape and picking up some big games gains? How does the Ravens offense look now week two with Derrick Henry back there? Because quite frankly, they looked better when Derrick Henry was actually on the sideline offensively, just more spread out, less predictable. We'll see here. Gardner Minshew, I thought, played okay for the Raiders week one. Again, the Raiders got to score more points than what they put up. Zamir White also did not look anything spectacular on the ground. He also had a bad fumble. How does that break down with him and Alexander Mattison? That's more for fantasy football purposes, but still something to keep an eye on.
Matthew asked in the chat, how were the Browns favorites last week? Listen, when the lines were first released, I agreed with you, Matthew. I overthought the game. I ended up taking the Browns. I think it comes down to how good the Browns defense was last season, especially on their home field. I think that's probably why they're favorites. But I mean, in hindsight, maybe they didn't deserve to be favorites. The story I'm watching in this game between the Raiders and the Ravens, which I think is the most important and maybe the most interesting, is the Ravens defense. Because I know last week it was against the Chiefs, it was on opening night. That's a tall order for any defense on opening night, but they gave up 7.1 yards per play. That's not the Ravens defense we saw last year. They lost their defensive coordinator. They lost Patrick Queen this offseason. I'm not raising a red flag yet, but at least gives me a little pause that they were that bad against the Chiefs, at least from a statistics and metrics standpoint. They need to have a big performance, in my opinion, this week against a Raiders offense who, I mean, none of us really expect a ton from the Raiders offense. We kind of look at the Raiders as a little bit more of a defensive team. The Raiders offense only scored, 10 points last week against the Chargers?
Yeah.
If the Ravens don't step up in this game when they're 9-point favorites and step up in a big way on defense, the red flag's going to start to get raised, at least. Or they can dominate the Raiders, and then I'm back in on the Ravens. But this game's going to tell me a lot, specifically defensively, about how Baltimore is going to shape up this season.
Nice. I like it.
All right, moving on to Saints and Cowboys. Cowboys 6.5-point home favorites. I think the story in this one, Sterling, is the Saints, after arguably having the most impressive performance in the NFL last season, or last week. Of course, it was the Panthers they beat up on. Now they got a true test. They're on the road in Dallas. Are the Saints for real? Was last week a little bit of an outlier against a really bad team? Cowboys almost a touchdown favorite.
Yeah, this one I don't have a great feel for because both teams really look good week one. But you also probably saw both teams more or less towards the upper outcome of what they look like. Saints probably aren't putting up 47 points again. Yeah, it's the Panthers, but still it's the NFL. Cowboys, they just dominated that game from start to finish. There was no pressure on them at all in that one. Yeah. What happens if it's a close game? Does Dak make a bad decision? Does Derek Carr make a bad decision? Yeah. I probably like the over in this one more than anything. I don't have a great feel for it. I guess the thing to look out for is Derek Carr and the Saints offense. Is that more or less what they are, where Chris Olave didn't do anything and they still put up 47 points? Yeah, some special teams, some defensive play. Yeah, I get that. But they still put up that many points without Chris Olave doing hardly anything. Rashid Shaheed looks like the part that he was last year, continuously growing into that basically wide receiver two role for them. And then the Cowboys side of things, we know they're good in the regular season. Can they make almost another statement over a team that put up 47, or can the defense make a statement here?
Yeah, I'm going to mostly hold back my thoughts until we get to our pick section at the end of the show, because one of my picks is on this game, so I don't want to give it away. Last week, you kind of said it, like both very good performances by both teams, probably, you know, as good as we'll see both teams play this season. And also is kind of, obviously the Panthers were very bad. We know that about the Saints, but the Browns, their offense was, if the Panthers had the worst offense last week, the Browns, I mean, maybe the Giants were worse than the Browns. Browns probably third worst offense last week. So, you know, was that a product of the Cowboys defense being really good or a product of the Browns defense or Browns offense with Deshaun Watson being really bad? So we'll learn a little bit more about both teams this week. 49ers, big favorites in Minnesota, taking on the Vikings, 6-point favorites. You know, another story. We were just talking about two teams who beat up on an opponent, and then it might have been more of a case of how bad their opponent was. It's the same thing we're looking at with the Minnesota Vikings, beat up on the Giants. A lot of people were high on Sam Darnold heading into the season. As we've talked about, I had people telling me last year, my mentions and my messages saying that Sam Darnold was just as good, if not better, than Brock Purdy. Sam Darnold truthers, you know, got a check mark in week one against the Giants. But now they got a tall test. They got arguably the best team in the NFL. Definitely, I would say the best team in the NFC and the 49ers. How do the Vikings stack up? Can they even compete in this game against San Francisco?
It's a revenge game. Sam Darnold revenge game coming at you week two. I don't know, man. I don't believe in the Vikings at all. I'm sorry. I just don't. But the Giants defense wasn't supposed to be the issue. The Giants offense we knew about being bad. Like, we didn't expect greatness from them.
Right.
But the Giants defense got kind of torched by Sam Darnold. 49ers defense is a lot better. The one concern I would have if I'm a Viking fan is Malik Nabers was almost perpetually open, but Daniel Jones didn't see him, couldn't hit him. That was the biggest issue. Brock Purdy's going to hit Debo or Ayuk or Juwan Jennings or George Kittle. I like the Niners to win big in this one. I think the Vikings game week one was a perfect storm of things going right for them. It won't all go right against the 49ers.
At the end of the day, what I will say about the Vikings, though, is they have offensive weapons. This is not just Sam Darnold. You got Justin Jefferson. Jordan Addison, I think, is questionable this week, though, so we don't know, I believe, if he's going to suit up or not. Aaron Jones looked very good at running back. I mean, they have some weapons offensively, so if Sam Darnold can get them the ball like he did in week one, you know, they're going to do some things once they get the ball in their hands. So they have some things working in their favor. They're home. They're taking on a 49ers team who's, you know, coming from the West Coast. Short week, just played a Monday Night Football. But still, I think the 49ers roll. Brandon Ayuk's probably going to have a full load this week. I think he only played 60% of snaps on Monday Night Football. Probably going to be
closer. And he looked rusty. He dropped a touchdown pass. He dropped an easy other pass earlier on in the game. No Christian McCaffrey.
So they're only going to get better.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think we both agree there. 49ers are probably going to roll. Chargers on the road in Carolina. Carolina's a 6.5-point home underdog. Here's my issue with this game. And I have unfortunately bet on the Panthers with the points, and I'm going to regret it Sunday. But the Panthers were just, listen, hear me out though. The Panthers were just 4-point underdogs in New Orleans against the Saints. Now they're 6.5-point home underdogs to the Chargers. And I don't evaluate the Chargers and the Saints all that differently. Like maybe if the two teams are playing on a neutral field, maybe the Chargers by a point. So to put the Panthers as a 4-point underdog in New Orleans last week, even though that game obviously did not go that well, I'm not going to take a one-game sample size. And then if you include home field advantage plus the 2.5-point, like that's a 5-point swing based off a one-week performance. And I think that's kind of crazy. I think even though last week was abysmal for Carolina, you can't look worse than that. Can they? Can they look worse than they did last week?
I don't know if they can look worse, but they can look the same. They can even look better and still lose by 25.
Yeah, which is possible, which is why I bet on the Panthers, and I'm probably going to regret it because I'm saying all this, I'm big braining this, and then they're going to lose by 28 again.
And maybe you're right, and they don't, I mean, there's going to be some pride that comes into play too for the Panthers. Like, you're not going to start the season with a minus 60-point differential. That's just asinine. I don't think the Chargers are great, by the way. I really don't.
Which is another point, yeah.
They did well against the Raiders defensively, 10 points. Again, whatever your thoughts on the Raiders, I thought they were going to be at least decent. They do have some weapons, Jacoby Myers, Brock Bowers, Devontae Adams, right? Like, they at least have some weapons for the Raiders. The Chargers, like I said all along, their wide receiver one's going to end up being Ladd McConkey, and that's what we saw week one, but Ladd looked really good. Quentin Johnston still didn't do a whole bunch in that one. Josh Palmer is okay. I think Herbert's just a really good quarterback. Very, very talented quarterback, I should say. He's got the traits. He's got the tools. I'd probably go with the, I know it's 38.5. I'd probably rip the under in this one. I don't see the Panthers scoring a ton of points. I just don't know how they do. Until Bryce Young shows us a reason that we can pick the Panthers to score more than 14 in a game, I'm going to keep going with the under. But yeah, I think the Chargers cover.
I just, when I look at the Chargers, the way they're built this season, I don't see them as a team that I can rely on to win with margin. I think the Chargers are going to try to play good defense. They're going to run the football. And even though they won by 12 points last week, I just think winning, especially on the road by, you know, a touchdown is just asking a lot, even against the Panthers team. But shout out also, by the way, J.K. Dobbins. 10 carries, 135 yards and a touchdown last week. That's going to work every week. Just keep running like that. A guy who healthy in his career has looked very good. He's just never been able to stay healthy.
Happy for him.
Healthy all season. That's a huge weapon for the Chargers. If he can average 13 and a half yards a carry, half of that would be nice.
Heck, a third's still not bad.
Pretty good. That'll be nice for Los Angeles. Seahawks against the Patriots. Patriots pulled off the biggest upset of week one, taking down the Bengals by a touchdown. As touchdown underdogs, they're now home to the Seahawks, 3.5-point home underdogs. The Patriots are over-under the lowest of the week. 37.5 is the over-under in New England and Seattle. What do you think about this one?
Broken record. I like the under in this one again. Patriots offense just didn't do anything for me. They did just enough. The Bengals were brutal in that game. Tanner Hudson carrying the ball like a loaf of bread before the end zone. What are you doing? Mike Gesicki should have brought that ball down in the back of the end zone. Tough catch, but he had it. They thought it was a catch to begin with, and then he, little bobble there at the very end. Bengals just looked atrocious. But I don't think the Seahawks are a great offense either. They, again, are a team that has weapons, as you've heard us talk about already on this show, but I think they're just an average team. I think the Seahawks get the win here, but I think it's one of those ones where you're just like, oh yeah, they won 17-10. It's just going to be an ugly one.
Yeah, at the end of the day, the nicest thing you can say about the Patriots is that they have a good defense, which they've at least showed in week one. Seahawks had a pretty good defense, too, against the Broncos, especially their secondary. I think two of their corners are rated inside the top five for corners in week one by PFF. So even if you say the two defenses are good, it's a wash. Which offense do you trust more? You know, Jacoby Brissett with the Patriots or Geno Smith and Seahawks? I'm obviously going to trust Geno Smith with the Seahawks with the weapons he has in that offensive unit. So, yeah, I'd be shocked if the Patriots start 2-0. But, 3.5-point home underdogs, certainly possible that they get the win. But I'll take the Seahawks in that one. Colts and Packers, it's a shame that we don't get to see Jordan Love this weekend, although I don't think he's been officially ruled out yet, which is crazy. But, no way he's going to play. It's going to be Malik Willis. Hopefully we get Jordan Love back sooner rather than later. So Green Bay, home. With Malik Willis, a quarterback, just a 3-point underdog to Anthony Richardson and the Colts. Thoughts on this one?
Yeah, it would have been amazing to see Jordan Love and Richardson, both quarterbacks who sling the ball, some unconventional throws. Sometimes they make throws that make you scratch your head and say, where is that going? What? That is very inaccurate, sir. And then also they back it up by dropping in a 60-yard dime. Richardson's backpedaling throw to Alec Pierce was one of the greatest throws you will ever see a quarterback make. It was insane. There's a lot of inconsistency with Richardson's game, though. A lot of incompletions, obviously. If you're the Colts, you should win this game. Malik Willis, last time we saw him play some football, was not good. We've not seen him look very good in the NFL. The Colts should win pretty heftily. I see the Packers struggling to get over the 14-point threshold here. But the question I have is, does Richardson keep them in the game? Does he throw a pick six? Does he try and do too much with his legs and there's a fumble that happens and the Packers just win the turnover margin by three? I could see the Packers staying in strictly because Richardson tries to do too much. If he plays within himself, which is hard because that's what makes him so special, this is one of those games where you almost have to sit down, Anthony, and say, hey, just take what's given to you, play smart, look at Michael Pittman Jr. We're going to run the football a lot. Let's get out of here with a win.
My concern about the Colts offense, Anthony Richardson threw for 212 yards, which seems good, but he completed just 9 of 19 pass attempts, which means his yards per completion were 23.6. So it was either he completed a bomb or he just didn't complete the pass. And sustainable. I certainly do not think that's sustainable. I don't think every game is going to be able to complete 9 passes for 212 yards. So he needs to find a way to complete passes without just tossing bombs and then, you know, hitting 1 of 4 of them and then hoping that's going to be enough. It's like a baseball team that only hits solo shot home runs, and then they try to win games that way. You got to get on base. You got to, you know, draw a couple walks. You got to hit a single every now and then. If all you're doing is hitting solo shot home runs, you're not going to keep winning. I guess they didn't win in week one, but you're not going to keep putting up as many points as he did in week one.
Yeah, same page.
This country was built on a distinctly American work ethic, but today work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries, sending away good jobs and diminishing our capability to make things. American Giant is pushing back against that tide. They make the kind of high-quality clothing staples you need for a comfortable, stylish, and active summer wardrobe. Like vintage-style tees, tough tank tops, breathable polos, lightweight sweatshirts, shorts, and so much more. All made right here in the USA, from growing the cotton to adding the final touches. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs for seamsters, cutters, and factory workers in towns and cities across the United States. And it's about more than an income. Jobs bring pride, purpose. They stitch people together. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get packs of juicy red, green, black, or tricolor variety seedless grapes for $3.99 each. Then get tender boneless chuck roast or steaks for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Buccaneers, Lions touchdown, home favorites to Tampa Bay. Could be a little bit of a sneaky upset pick here, potentially, if Tampa Bay can look as good this week as they did in week one against the Commanders. Baker Mayfield, you know, maybe not MVP of week one, but top five. He'd be in the MVP voting after week one with his performance. Both Chris Godwin and Mike Evans had similar stats. It's kind of hard to defend two elite receivers at the same time. But Lions looked very good against the Rams as well, especially the run game. Everyone's talking about Jahmyr Gibbs, who had a solid game. People kind of forgot about how good David Montgomery is too, especially late in the game. I think that this game is going to be an offensive shootout. I think a lot of people, when they think of Tampa Bay, they think Buccaneers have a good defense. Not true, actually.
Yeah.
An average to below average defense. Same with the Lions, even though the Lions made some improvements on defense over the offseason, I still wouldn't consider them a good defense. Totals 51.5. I think it goes over that. I'm going to sit back and root for points in that one, which I think should be a fun game.
Yeah, it should be absolutely electric, again, on paper. The Rams-Lions game should have been electric on paper. It ended up being a very, very good game, obviously going into overtime, but not quite as high scoring as I think a lot of people thought. Part of that was Puka Nacua going down with injury as well, obviously. But week two, you should be a little more in rhythm. But you're right. The Buccaneers offense week one looked electric. Baker Mayfield throwing the ball to Chris Godwin and Mike Evans seemingly at will. Bucky Irving was a nice little 1-2 punch with Rashad White. So it's not just the 1-1-2 punch of Montgomery and Gibbs. You also have White and Irving. I like the over, I guess. I'm with you here. The Lions defense is improved. They had some good pieces they brought in. But how do they handle the two veterans, Godwin and Mike Evans? That size is going to be tough. 7 points, though, to me does seem like a lot. I don't know if I can get on board with the 7.
I'd also like to see the Buccaneers get Cade Otton back into the mix. He was electric at the end of the year last year. We did not see him much in week one. I think only a catch. Jets, Titans, Jets coming off the Monday Night Football loss, head to Tennessee. Tennessee handed the game. I should say Will Levis handed the game. Well, they got a punt block too. They handed the game to the Bears in week one. Titans now back at home, 3.5-point underdogs. Like we said earlier, Sterling, we didn't really learn a ton from the Jets in week one. So what do we expect from them in week two against a much easier opponent in Tennessee?
Well, if you're a Titans fan, how do you view that game? I mean, you played pretty well and you had just multiple back-breaking mistakes. Mm-hmm. I mean, just like silly, the punt block, you had the pick six. That was just one of the worst throws you'll ever see in your entire life. Like, if you're a Titans fan, do you sit here and go, okay, you know what? This team might be a little better than we thought. Or do you say, this is who they are. They're an okay team that's just going to make back-breaking decisions game in, game out. Because Will Levis is, I wasn't a huge Will Levis guy. We know he's a little bit of a gunslinger who might make poor decisions at times. Maybe that's part of his DNA. Well, the Jets are very opportunistic in their secondary. DJ Reed, the veteran, is very good. Sauce Gardner is maybe the best corner in football. I think the Jets defense has a lot to prove after that first game. Yes, it's the Niners. Yes, they're obviously a phenomenal offense. The Jets defense, though, wants to come out and make a statement. I'm all in on the Jets in this one. I think they win by at least a touchdown. But the Titans are a little saltier, though, than I thought. And again, with them blowing last week, how do they respond? That is an interesting point to bring up, is how do they respond after blowing that game?
Yeah, you want to talk with the Jets defense. I want to talk with the Titans defense in this one, actually, because it is a unit I think both of us said were kind of being underrated heading into the season based on how many offseason acquisitions this Titans defense got. And they looked great. I mean, they, of course, went against Caleb Williams, a rookie quarterback, making his first start, a Bears team that we did expect to at least start out of the gates a little bit slow. But they kept the Bears to 2.8 yards per play in week one. That was the fewest in the opening week of the season by half a yard. And once again, you go down the list of the guys on this Titans defense, new faces from last season, Kenneth Murray, Harold Landry, Chidobe Awuzie, L'Jarius Sneed. Like, although L'Jarius Sneed didn't actually play that great, apparently, in that first week. But still, this Titans defense, I think, might be a legitimate top 10, if not top 5 defense by the end of the year. Add that in with another very good defense in the Jets. I think it's a low scoring one. I think it's a defensive showdown.
Like it.
Giants Commanders, the toilet bowl of the week. Who cares?
There are a lot of games that I just think the under's going to hit and watch as we just see offensive explosions. But I honestly might just take just all every single game, not parlay them, obviously, but just put $5 or something on every single under. Because I feel like 12 out of 16 are going to hit. That's where I'm at, I think, right now. 44 points is absurd for this game. Are you sure it's not 34, Ian? Because 44 seems absurd.
I'm on the over in this game.
No, you're not.
I am. The defenses stink. Both these defenses stink. I know the offenses stink too, but the defenses stink too.
It's a stink fest.
It's going to be which side of the ball for which team stinks the least. Even though I'm on the over, I could see this be low scoring as well because the offense stink.
I almost want to watch this game. Like, it's one of those games that you're like, you don't want to watch because you're like, this is going to be awful. And then but both teams are so bad, they end up being good. Yeah. Like, it ends up being so, like, you're like, oh, he just fumbled it for a touchdown. Oh my gosh, three safeties, pick six. Like, it's going to be outstanding. So much broken coverage.
I'm seeing a storyline about the Commanders being that their offensive coordinator, who I just learned last week is Cliff Kingsbury, I believe, is lining up Terry McLaurin on the left-hand side for some reason. And no receiver lined up on the left more than Terry McLaurin, which doesn't make any sense. A right-handed quarterback, you'd want your better receiver lining up on the right-hand side. But for some reason, their only good receiver, he's lining up on Jaden Daniels' wrong side on the left side. He's doing it every play.
Chestnut checkers, Ian.
Yeah, apparently. Browns and Jaguars, interesting one. Both teams lost week one. Jaguars at home, 3-point favorites. I don't have a strong take about this one. Browns defense was not good on the road last season. I'm going to ride that and take the Jaguars. But and also, I mean, I don't think I can bet on the Browns with Deshaun Watson's quarterback. Put Jameson. It's over. The Deshaun Watson experiment was over.
Yeah, it's a sunk cost at this point.
it's done.
He's atrocious.
Terrible.
I don't care about the offensive line looking bad. Like, dude, even when he had time, he was throwing the ball away. Yeah, like, there was three straight throws where he had time. It was on the goal line situation. He just threw it away. You're like, what are you doing? And then it's fourth down, and you're not even giving your receiver a chance. You just run around back there and then eventually try and run for it and get brought down. Like, bad decisions, bad quarterback, bad arm. He's bringing you nothing to the organization right now besides turmoil.
Yeah.
At least Jameis
both Winston on and will, off the field.
But at least Jameis will throw the ball. Like, you know, that's not going to be the issue. You know, he'll at least throw the rock.
Yeah.
Yeah. Throw
Jameis. Seems to be well liked in the locker room, too. Players seem to like
Jameis. Throw Winston in there. I'm with you.
Yeah. It's the longer they keep Deshaun Watson in, the least likely they're going to have a chance in the playoffs. So,
agreed.
It's going to suck because that's a lot of money that you've got to burn. But it's better than rolling him out every single week.
You're paying him either way. It's a sunk cost.
Right. Correct. And it's done. The experiment's over. He's not going to turn things around. Matthew Carson wins for Myles Garrett. Who says no?
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Myles Garrett's contract. I don't know. Would any of the team could take that on? You'd have to find a way to clear up a ton of cap space.
Yeah.
Although I will still say yes.
Rams-Cardinals, this could be a fun one. Although the Rams are missing Puka Nacua now. He's on the IR out for at least 4 weeks. They're also missing two offensive linemen. I didn't realize how banged up the Rams got, or I knew about Puka Nacua, did not know about their offensive linemen. But the Rams' offense already limping out to start the season. I think it could be a fun one, though. The Cardinals were exactly, at least in the first week, what we predicted they would be, which would be kind of all offense, no defense. This could be a fun one in the NFC West.
Could not agree more. And that was without Marvin Harrison Jr. doing anything. One catch for 4 yards. James Conner looked good. Trey Benson, they'll probably get more involved as the season progresses. Greg Dortch was like the guy. Trey McBride still looks like a very, very good offensive tight end. Kyler Murray, again, when healthy, is so fun to watch. I think people forget that. I feel like you right now, Ian, you always say, I think people forget that.
People forget.
Yeah, but I'm with you, man. This should be a really fun game to watch.
I got some interesting trends here for you. Rams fans are going to like this. Rams 5-1 against the spread in their last 6 games against the Cardinals. Rams are 9-0 against the spread in their last 9 games played in Arizona. Rams 7-1 against the spread in their last 8 games against NFC West opponents.
Wow.
If you're a trends guy, you got to like the Rams.
I don't know if you're a trends guy,
but those are interesting. Well,
you got to break the trend.
That's right. They're due. Cardinals are due. You're right.
They're due.
That's the issue with trends. You could just make an argument for both sides. You
can
just
either
say
one
side's due or the other side, history repeats itself. So
when I play blackjack, if I get like 4 in a row, like 4 at 21, like I'll just leave.
Right.
Like I'm like, no, trends are telling me. I know every hand's different. It's heater. I'm like, no, I'm due to get a bad hand.
Right.
If you're getting consistently bad hands, I'm like, I'm staying because I'm due, boys. The guys due.
All right, moving on to
the blackjack.
The Bengals, I love blackjack. I think I'm decent at it. The Bengals and the Chiefs. I'll let you take it away. Your Chiefs thoughts.
Yeah, I think the Chiefs waxed the Bengals. Zach Taylor 1-10 in first 2 weeks.
And I think the one Higgins was in overtime.
Yeah, it was. And Higgins is still banged up. Even if he plays, he's still injured. Yeah. Jamar Chase, a lot of unrest there. I think Jamar is a great player. I think he'll have a great game still. But Joe Burrow looked like, man, he looked like last year's Russell Wilson. I mean, he did though.
Man, that's insulting.
He did. No, I get it. If you're the Bengals, you say, okay, well, Tanner Hudson fumbled on the 1 yard line holding the ball like a loaf of bread. Joe Burrow made a great throw to the back of the end zone to Mike Gesicki, who should have came down with the ball, but didn't. You still have a video of Joe Burrow trying to pick up a Gatorade bottle and it made it look like it was made of concrete. That can't give you a whole bunch of confidence in regards to his wrist/hand. He's still injured, I think. Has to be. He's trying to figure out how to play with this thing. Chiefs look good. They scored 21 and still left a lot of points on the board. I think the Chiefs win by double digits. And if you know me, I'm not always super optimistic about that. but I think the Chiefs just hate. I don't think the Bengals are good, especially early on. Season goes on, maybe the Bengals get and play some good football. Week two against the Chiefs at Arrowhead, they get waxed.
Listen, I've been screaming from the mountaintops all offseason that the Bengals aren't nearly as good as people think they are. Like, the amount of people I saw picking the Bengals to be in the Super Bowl is ridiculous to me. They had one of the worst offenses, or one of the worst defenses, if not the worst defense in the NFL last season. Did little to improve it in the offseason. They were 5-5 with Joe Burrow last year, as like people just completely forget that, and they act like as if he was injured in week two. He was injured in week 10. They were 5-5. And then we saw that against the Patriots in week one. Like, it's not good in Cincinnati. They, in my opinion, are a team that got hot at the right time in two seasons. And that's pretty much it. Even the season that they won 12 games, yeah, they're good. I still thought they kind of didn't play as good as the record indicated. Now it's kind of, you know, some regression to the mean.
Yeah. Couldn't agree more. Again, no team's gotten more pub off of one victory in the playoffs than anyone I can think of in recent memory.
Yeah, and this is multiple years later. I mean, yep. From when they went to the Super Bowl, this is now the third season later. I know they went to the AFC Championship and almost beat the Chiefs the next year, too. So we're 2 years removed from that, 3 years removed from the time they actually won the game, and people are still treating them like they're a Super Bowl contender. They're a five-point underdog in Kansas City. This game's not even in Cincinnati. They're a five-point underdog in Kansas City with the Chiefs coming off a mini bye week. And the Chiefs' offense in week one looking more explosive than they did all last year when they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I don't get it.
And you know me, I don't want to hype up the Chiefs, but this seems like it's going to be a blowout.
Yep.
Steelers-Broncos. We got to get to the pick, so we don't even need to comment much on this game.
Russell Wilson versus Russell Wilson.
Yeah. Russell Wilson. No,
it's probably going to be Justin Fields versus Bo Nix.
Justin Fields, I think, is starting, so it is Justin Fields. We'll see if the Steelers can win a game again. Mike Tomlin can drag them to a victory. Can they score a touchdown this game? Might not have to. I think that's all we have to say about this game. Oh, it's on TJ Watt. Watching TJ Watt's fun.
Yeah.
Bears, Texans, any Steelers or Broncos fans watching this are pissed. Bears, Texans fans, Sunday, or Bears, Texans, Sunday Night Football, Caleb Williams, CJ Stroud. I think this is Texans. For the same reason I was anti-Bears before week one. I think it's going to take half season before this Bears offense figures things out. Too many new pieces, new offensive coordinator, two starting rookies. It just doesn't lead to a lot of success early in the season.
Yeah,
and now you got the bright lights of Sunday Night Football against a Texans team that we had some concerns about heading into week one, but at least their offense looked just as good as they did last year.
Yeah, I don't have many concerns with the Texans. I don't. Yeah, I like the Texans a good amount in this game.
Yeah.
Although I will say, if you're the Bears,
yeah,
Keenan Allen was targeted like 11 times, only had four catches. And Keenan Allen struggled. It wasn't all Caleb Williams on that one. So there could be some positivity as far as the offense for the Bears. Again, maybe it's not this week, but going forward, as you're talking about, the offense for the Bears could open up.
Yeah, for sure. Let's wrap up the show with our picks. Starting, we got a spread bet, upset pick, total pick, and then I will give my survivor pick because, Sterling, you have abandoned me and lost already. You can give a survivor pick, but for our competition, it's just mine's the only one that matters.
I don't want to anymore. There's no point. I'm ass. I suck.
Well, no,
I mean, week 14 last year, and I'm out in week one because the Bengals, I'm an idiot and thought, oh, even with all these numbers, they'll still beat the Patriots. Yeah. No.
Yeah. You win some, you lose some. That's the thing with Survivor. You lose once and it's done. To be fair, last year I lost early in the year, so maybe that means I'll go over a little bit of a run here. Let's start with spread bet, though. You got two spread picks. I thought it was our favorite of each of you, but you got two, so go ahead.
Yeah, I'll just go to one. I'll just go Chiefs -5. There's a lot, actually, I like in this week, too. I didn't like a lot last week. I like a lot more this week. I'll go Chiefs -5 at home. They roll.
If you didn't take the Chiefs, and I figured you were going to, only fair with it being your team, I was going to take the Chiefs because maybe I'm wrong about the Bengals, but I mean, my preseason opinion about the Bengals was proven to be even more accurate than I thought in week one. So why would I get off the fade the Bengals train? But instead, I'm going to go Texans. Texans Sunday Night Football against the Bears for a very similar reason. If my preseason expectation about a team lines up with what exactly happens in week one, then I'm just going to keep betting against them, and that's what happened here. I thought the Bears offense was going to get off to a slow start. That's exactly what happened in week one. I will now bet against them again in week two. Even though, to be fair, betting against them in week one didn't work. If you know, the Texans can, you know, knock it a punt block for a touchdown, and then hopefully CJ Stroud won't hand them another defensive touchdown, we should be all right.
I don't like that you're on the same side as me for the Chiefs, because typically when you go against the Chiefs, good things happen.
Yeah,
so I'm a little nervous right now.
Upset pick. Last week you took the shortest underdog on the board and it did not win. And you have decided, I guess it is no longer the shortest underdog, but you are back on another underdog of less than a field goal.
Well, sorry, I like the Bills. I told you that from the get-go. What do you want from me? Ian, I told you the Bills. You mean to switch? I'll switch.
No.
I'll do it for you.
No. Here, your pick will be the Bills. Give me, of the big underdogs, just give me the one that you like the most. But your pick will still be the Bills.
I don't even know if I like any of the other ones, like, at all.
One big underdog's going to win.
The only one I could think of is almost the Bucks.
Okay, that works.
I'm not doing it. I'm not saying
you have to, no.
Went Bills.
All I wanted was, if you had to pick one, which one would you go with?
I guess Buccaneers, because the offense can keep up with any team almost in the NFL.
So with Sports Illustrated each week, starting last week, a bunch of the SI writers do an upset pick, their favorite upset, and there is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. There's 8 people who give a pick for it, and 6 of the 8 pick the Bills as their favorite upset. It's a lot of people on the Bills this week, which is concerning. If I was on the Bills, I'd be concerned, which is
not concerned.
Makes me like the Dolphins even more.
Not concerned.
My upset, I'm going to take the Saints to beat the Cowboys.
Tasty.
I'm taking a shot. The Saints have looked good on paper. The past couple seasons have not lived up to expectations. Maybe they won't continue to the rest of this year, but in week one, they look like as good as I thought the Saints were going to be the past couple years. So maybe they figured things out. Maybe Derek Carr just needed a year in the Saints system. Maybe they'll be good. I'll take the Saints, which kills me as a Falcons fan, by the way. I'm ashamed with my Falcons helmet in the background that I'm saying the Saints. Total bet. You already touched on yours. You like the under and the Giants Commanders.
Yes, correct.
Because of terrible offenses, which yeah, I'm not going to argue
against. It's 44.5. I'm ripping that under.
I'm going to go over 48.5. I already bet the over 50, but it is now at 48.5. And as we do in the show, for the show picks, then we go off the most current number, and the current number is 48.5. So, which tells me this, it's going to end at 49. I'll go over 48.5 Rams Cardinals. Not only did, you know, I talked about before, you know, offenses for both teams, I think better in the defenses, but I think offensive strengths match up against defensive weaknesses. Cardinals have some issues in the secondary. Rams can throw the ball. Rams struggled to stop the run. At least they did in week one. I mean, they just got the ball ran on them every play in overtime and lost. And I think the Cardinals have a pretty good rush attack. So I'll go over 48.5 Rams Cardinals.
Love it.
My survivor pick is the Texans to beat the Bears on Sunday Night Football. When you look at the Texans schedule, most of their easy games this season are on the road. They play in New England. They play in, I think they play the Giants on the road, maybe. Most of this is, I think, their easiest home game of the season. Outside of divisional opponents, and the AFC South is so crazy, I would never take any survivor team facing an AFC South opponent. So I'll go Texans.
I'm rooting for you.
No, you're not.
Make me buy something cool for you.
I gotta reach what you got to last year for 13 or 14, but that's tough.
Yeah.
You had a very good survivor season last year.
It was strong.
If you had to give a survivor pick, who'd you go?
If I had to this week,
Ravens would be the
didn't
obvious.
Think
one.
About it. Probably go Chargers.
Yeah,
because I don't know. I don't know what else.
Just fading the Panthers might work. You could just fade the Panthers every season or every week.
I was gonna go Saints last week too with you, but we can't be the same one. You took it before me. You put it in the show sheet before I did. Saints were the team I was gonna go with until you just did that. So really, it's your fault. I'm out.
Yeah. So I'll go Texans this week. Of their entire season, I think this is the game I want to take them. So there you go. The bad part is I got to wait till Sunday Night Football to see if they advance. Well, I'm going to be flying back from Canada on Sunday anyway. So, all right. Thank you all so much for watching. Subscribe to Stack in the Box on YouTube. Rate and review the audio version of this podcast. We'll be back again Monday morning, 9:30 a.m. Eastern. That is our schedule. It is Monday, 9:30 a.m. Eastern. We recap Sunday's games and then preview Monday Night Football. This coming Monday, we get to preview Falcons-Eagles. Not excited for that. And then Wednesdays, 5 p.m. Eastern, we preview the upcoming week's weekend's games. Sterling, final thoughts.
I hope everyone's bets hit. They have a great time. And your team wins.
Gambler bless. Thank you all so much for watching. We'll talk to you Monday morning.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Get packs of juicy red, green, black, or tri-color variety seedless grapes for $3.99 each. Then get tender boneless chuck roast or steaks for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.